Okay, this is David and Matt here, still on the 29th of July, talking about the Live Sites Research. We're actually sitting in John Lewis, of all places, at Westfield, at the Olympic Park. The reason why we're here is that we tried to get into Olympic Park, as we've mentioned already, but the £10 tickets are all sold out, and there's a bit of confusion over that, and I think a little bit of unhappiness around about the fact that so few people can actually get into the park, even though it's just to sort of enjoy the experience. So we actually followed a kind of trail that took us to John Lewis because people said that's where you can see the parks, and you find that there's like big queues of people actually coming up to the top floor of John Lewis just to see the park actually. And what's interesting, I think, is that they're actually exploiting that commercially.
Yeah.
And try to get back some of the rent that they've paid for this big piece of real estate on the Westfield Shopping Centre, and they're selling £2 tickets to get in and see through a window the Olympic Park. Right next door to that, as I think it was quite funny, is that there's a window that you can also see through, but they've actually got the kind of
design
on that, so you can't actually take a photo from there very clearly. So
yeah, it's the strange thing is what that's going to do is it's basically massive exploitation going on of people's desire to see the park. And of course, when people can see the park, because interestingly, when you're at ground level, you can't see the sheer volume or the size of this actual park. And there's only 10,000 tickets. When clearly, I mean, I was in it for the rehearsal and I saw it firsthand, and I've put up two or three bits and bobs on the site from that rehearsal. It's absolutely massive. You could easily get, you know, 10 times, you know, that amount of people in there. So people are clearly going to be a bit frustrated by that.
Yeah, and I think the rationale is about security and about, you know, people coming out of venues and means that there's more people and they can't really predict how many people that will be in the space. But I mean, I think I was just spoken to someone who was watching this on television and said, when you see people on the television, it looks really empty. It looks like the park could, the capacity, I mean, the park is much greater for people just milling around and wandering around through the kind of the different routes that are there in the park. And I think that's something that, well, the experience of speaking to people has been that people would like to have just got a chance to experience the park, because people have travelled from a long way away. It's actually just about being, I was there, I was in the park. And I do feel that there's something there for the organisers to look at very quickly about how they can deal with that and actually satisfy the desire to get the kind of atmosphere and be able to say, yeah, a wee picture saying I was in the park.
No, what the producers are forgetting is that because of this, the actual kind of magic that kind of mystical magic that's created or co-created among participants and people from different cultures is fundamentally being lost. So ironically, the producers, with all their safety and the regulations and the rationalisation of this space, is actually killing this kind of co-created magic that we talk about.
And one of the things that we were talking about was about how, I guess, we expect that people say, well, go to the live site if you want to actually view the experience actually. So the live sites are, I guess, will be the place where people will be directed. But we were just talking on the way over about how the difference between the Soccer World Cup and the kind of live site and the atmosphere and the kind of, I guess, tribal nature of following football and the identity that comes with that versus the kind of much more relaxed, I guess, placid, kind of maybe more festive experience of international audiences in the live site yesterday at Hyde Park watching that.
Yeah, there's a slight degree, again, as we would say, is informality. Clearly with the World Cup, I mean, identities, cultural identities and the social glue, if you like, that societies, you know, feed off of is actually seen in the World Cup, but it's not so greatly seen here, I've got to say. You know, at the live sites that we've seen so far, it's a lot more informal, a lot more casual, you know. But of course, again, they've lost this opportunity by the ticket fiasco that we're looking at today.
Okay, last little point maybe just is about, you know, how we see this sort of British identity, I guess, being expressed. Matt, is there a sense that you've seen quite a lot of face painting, we've seen quite a lot of flags, quite a lot of merchandising, people going around very much wearing their support on their jerseys or whatever, that, and flags all around. What do you think of that?
Well, I think the thing is, well, we were chatting earlier on about the kind of whole so-called the United Kingdom, here's Great Britain on representation, but I don't know if it necessarily is, because you're clearly seeing we're seeing hierarchies of citizenship here for a start, you know, with those people who can be included, those people who can get to the fan parks, those people who can get to the venues, and those people who can get tickets, if you like, even to go into the stadium here, you know. But we'll come back to this year, kind of whole Scottishness, and there's a few kind of interesting debates to be had, I think, in that issue around British identity.
Okay, off to Victoria Park, speak to you later.